To introduce the talk this evening, we're going to take a very short reading from Acts chapter 2. We're going to take the verses 22 to 24. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Who is Jesus? And why is he so famous? We now give the floor to Brother Tim to answer that question.
Let me just get this microphone set up first, if I may. Is it working now?
Okay, hopefully you can all hear me. Excellent. Let's just put that tidy. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our talk for tonight. As you can see, we'll be looking at the subject about Jesus, asking who is he, and also asking why is he so famous. And what we're going to hopefully do, is completely optional to you, is to have a bit of interaction. That's why I'm standing here, to try to mingle with you. No compulsory. What we're going to do is we're going to have different questions that we're going to consider. Two of them are on the screen behind me. And we're going to, at some point, we'll let you spend some time on your own, maybe a minute or 2 minutes, where you might talk to the person next to you, or you might talk in a group, three or four, or the person in front of you, entirely up to you. Or you can just talk to yourself in your own mind. That's entirely up to you. You don't have to speak. And then other times, we'll just get you to throw out some answers when I'll just open the floor to everybody. So I'm not going to point at anybody to say you must speak. But let's just consider this subject together, is what I like to do, and then hopefully we can see what you know as well as what I know. So the first question is hopefully just to look at the basics of Jesus. Jesus is a name that many people know, but who is he? He's a man that is absolutely certain in history. But what do you know about this man? Normally when you introduce yourself, you normally say what work you do, what family you have, what ancestors you have, if you've got any famous ancestors, where you were born, where you lived. Any suggestions on Jesus, who he was? Just shout out for me, please.
Son of God.
Son of God, yes, thank you very much. Anything else?
Son of Mary.
Son of Mary, yes, thank you. Anything else?
Son of Man.
Son of Man. Lincoln was son of Mary, absolutely, thank you.
Son of David.
Son of David, so he's of the kingship line, absolutely. So he's got a famous ancestor. Anything else? Where did he live?
Born in Bethlehem.
Born in Bethlehem, thank you. Anything else?
Lived in Nazareth.
I lived in Nazareth, brilliant. Any other places?
Went to Egypt.
Went to Egypt, brilliant. And then the next one, which is always the hardest one, in a town beginning with C, in Galilee, any suggestions? Say? This guy, Peter, has got them all. Fantastic. What did he do for work?
Carpenter.
Brilliant. So we cover most of the things there. We see here in Matthew chapter 3 that when Jesus was baptized, the voice came out of heaven like a dove, and it said that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus is the Son of God, according to the Bible and the historical account that's given to us. He's also described as Son of Man and Son of Mary. Jesus was born like any other human being from his mother Mary. He was born in Bethlehem. We see that in Matthew chapter 2. His job was a carpenter. That was quite well known in them by others who recognised that he was a carpenter in Mark chapter 6. We didn't mention how many brothers and sisters he has, but he's got three brothers, James, Joseph and Judah, well, or four, James, Judah and Simon, and at least two sisters. So we can see that he's got many brothers and sisters. He dwelt in Egypt, Nazareth and Capernaum, and he's the royal descendant of David. So I think that was nearly everything. Seed of Abraham, which actually all Israelites were the seed of Abraham, just to identify he was of the tribe of Judah. So that's who is Jesus. It's a general background, factual information of Jesus to consider. But our subject is think about famous. Why is Jesus famous? Well, before we do that, what does that mean? What does the word famous mean? Does anyone have any kind of definition or in their own mind of what they think famous is?
Known by people who have never met you.
Sorry, known?
Known by people who have never met you.
Yeah, known by lots of people that never met you. Absolutely. So it's that kind of knowledge of by other people. And it's interesting you said not met, which is quite interesting because when you think about famous, you're usually famous in the thousands or the millions, and it'd be quite difficult to meet that quantity of number of people to be identified famous. Any other things that want to add on to that about being famous?
Normally exceptionally good at something.
Yeah, so there's something unique about them, that there's a reason why they're famous. Excellent. Anything else? No way, that's fine. So we've got, they're known by many people, they're remembered for very specific reasons, they have achieved something special or something unique, and finally, they're often looked as a role model for someone to look their lives after them, to copy, to follow the example of. So there's somebody who is important in their lives that they value to try to imitate their lives. So I'm going to give you now, I'm going to time you on my phone. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you 1 minute. You can talk to yourself or talk to the people next to you. I want you to think of a famous person. Could be anybody in the history of the world. Could be someone who's alive today. Could be someone who's not alive. Obviously, don't pick Jesus because that's our subject. And just think about who is this person you're thinking of that you know is famous, and then think about why is that person famous. You can think about it to yourself or talk to the person next to you. It could be absolutely anybody for any purpose or any reasons. It's a wonderful sound when you hear lots of chatter. It sounds like you're already getting engaged into this subject, which is wonderful. Does anyone would like to share with the whole group any examples that they thought of, and then why?
Kim Kardashian.
Sorry?
Kim Kardashian.
Right, okay. Do you want to expand why?
Famous for being famous.
Right. Perfect.
William Shakespeare.
Probably actually done something useful in this world. All the writings and his plays that he's done.
And they've still survived even though he's died. Yeah,
so hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Most people, a lot of people know the name Shakespeare. Wonderful. Anyone else want to share?
Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
Sorry?
Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
Yeah.
Okay. He's generally
being
an awesome engineer.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
We're so empty. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
He sounds into
it. Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill, very famous in this country for his work in leading the UK during the Second World War. Gandhi. Wonderful.
Gandhi.
Sorry?
Gandhi.
Gandhi, yeah, absolutely. Anyone else want to share anything else?
Mango
Pak. Sir?
Mango Pak.
Manuel.
Is it Mango Pak or Mango Pak?
I'm aware
that he said that
destroyed
a lot of countries.
Okay. Yeah. I always find whenever I do this, people always mention names that I haven't necessarily learned, which is fantastic, because I learn more as well. So that's brilliant. Thank you very much for this. We can talk about many examples throughout all history. You got Alexander the Great. After all, he's got the name the Great in his name. Henry VIII, Adolf Hitler, Freddie Mercury, Barack Obama, Andy Murray, Johnny Depp. Barack Obama is old, actually. I need to change that. He's not the current USA president. So they're all famous people for our history for various different reasons. Alexander the Great was a warrior, a conqueror. Henry VIII, he's the King of England, but generally remembered because he had six wives. Adolf Hitler is famous for bad reasons, because he was the leader of the Nazi army. Freddie Mercury, singer of Queen. The USA, former USA President Barack Obama. You could put Trump in there now, couldn't we? Andy Murray, the champion of Wimbledon in 2016, and Johnny Depp is an actor. So all various different reasons. Some are alive today, some are in history. And they were famous for specific purposes. And men and women look up to them as a role model in their lives. More importantly, let's think about this. What makes Jesus famous? I'm going to give you another minute. Again, talk with each other. Think about the life of Jesus. Think about what you may know. And think about why so many in the world know the name Jesus. And what has Jesus done in his life or is doing today that makes him famous? We could spend all evening, couldn't we? Because there's just so many examples of why Jesus is a famous person throughout all history. Would anyone like to share any reason that they thought was the reason that Jesus is famous?
He was prophesied he was going to come.
Brilliant. So Jesus was prophesied in the Bible hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before he lived. Wonderful. Thank you.
Miracles.
So Jesus performed miracles. And rose the dead.
He rose from the dead himself.
Lazarus was raised from the dead because of Jesus, and also himself was the first man to rise into immortal life. And I think that's a really good point, in that it's not just being raised from the dead, it's also to everlasting life. And that's a really powerful thing that I want to think about a bit later. Anything else? So he talked about the kingdom and his father, God, so he explained these things very well. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else?
He resisted temptation.
Brilliant. So despite being man and he's tempted in all points like we are, he has resisted that temptation and he committed no sin. Wonderful. Anything else?
His love.
His love, compassion towards us. To everybody, gave his life as a sacrifice for our salvation. That's a really good point.
The only way to God.
The only way to God. Because of his blood, we've been brought nigh to God. It says in Ephesians. Yeah, absolutely.
People use him as an excuse for a holiday.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a national holiday in this country. Also Easter. Yes, absolutely. Hopefully, maybe at some point, in the future when Jesus returns, they'll actually appreciate who he really is and actually try to follow his ways. Absolutely. So I'll list a few things I've mentioned as well, which we've already considered, which is brilliant. So Luke chapter 9 is the example when Jesus fed the 5,000. And it's mentioned there that they took just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and the 12 disciples dispersed this food across the 5,000 people. And it says at the bottom there, they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. So even after everyone was pretty full, there was fragments that covered more than 12 baskets. So there was an amount of abundance that was given on a literal benefit for the hunger that the people had. He had great wisdom and understanding. Even at the age of 12, he was in the temple talking to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple, and he was hearing them and he was asking them questions. And what we see there is that they heard him and were astonished at his understanding and his answers. It also says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature with both God and man. And what that shows is that he's a man like we are. He's able to grow and develop and grow in wisdom and understanding. And so we can make that kind of connection. So when we think about Jesus being a role model, we can see that Jesus learned, and we can also grow and learn in wisdom and stature with both God and man. He was greatly superior to all the other religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes. He taught the Old Testament teachings as it correctly should be. Here's the passage talking about the greatest commandment that is referred to in the Old Testament. And Jesus says the first commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." So that's the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, this is the two greatest commandments. And he taught the law as it should have been. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. And we thought about this earlier, about his love, his compassion, but before the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus looked upon the people as sheep, not having a shepherd. And here we see that Jesus was moved with compassion towards them. And this is why, one of the reasons Jesus performed those miracles, because they were isolated, because they were not given the help from the religious leaders at the time. So Jesus was the one that they turned to. First man ever to raise from the dead into immortal life. Now, not just being raised from the dead like Lazarus and a few others, but into immortal life. And that's a really powerful point. And that's what our reading was in Acts chapter 2 that we've just considered, had read at the beginning. It's a very good summary of the life of Jesus. I'll just read this again for us. It's Peter talking here, and it says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that he should be holden of it." So we see that A, Jesus is a man, and he's approved of God. There's no Trinity here. Jesus is a separate entity to God, and he's approved in God's sight. And he died because of the hands of the religious rulers, the Pharisees and the scribes that Peter is talking to, at that time, and he was crucified and slain on the cross. Then it says in verse 24 that it was God that raised up Jesus. So again, there's no Trinity here. It is two separate entities, God, the creator of all things, the Father raising up his Son from the dead. And he's now given a crown of everlasting life, and he's in heaven above today. Oh, that's my next point. Jesus is alive today, and he's in the right hand of God. And this passage here was the occasion when Stephen was stoned. And just before he died, he looked up into the heavens above and he saw Jesus standing on the right-hand side of God. So we can see that that's where Jesus is today. He's in heaven next to God. We believe that Jesus is going to return to this earth and he's going to be the future king of a kingdom that is going to last forever. Here, when Jesus, before Jesus was born, one of the prophecies that we can see that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and told Mary who her son is going to be. It says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the angel says to Mary, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So straight away, before Jesus was even born, he was told by his mother was told clearly that he is going to be given the throne of his father David, and then that throne will last forever. It will be of no end. So he's going to be a future king of an everlasting kingdom. And so Jesus is famous, there's no denying that. There are several million, perhaps billion, followers who remember or know the name of Jesus. Some remember Jesus on a more regular basis than others. Christadelphians generally like to remember Jesus on at least once a week, usually on a Sunday morning. We usually come into a hall like this, and we have bread and we have wine, remembering the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus that was shed, to remember his death and his life and also his resurrection. And so we do that on a regular basis. But let's now pick up on prophecy. Many aspects of Jesus' life was prophesied hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before he even came into existence. So let's look at some examples here. In Micah chapter 2, it's referring to Bethlehem. It says, "Thou Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." So out of Bethlehem will come forth the ruler that is in Israel. And we can see that is referring to Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Also Zechariah chapter 9 in the Old Testament says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just and having salvation, and lowly riding upon an ass, and upon a colt of the fawn of an ass." So here's a prophecy of someone riding into Jerusalem, that is Zion, riding on an ass. And that's what Jesus did. Before he was last visit to Jerusalem, 3-4 days before his crucifixion, he rode upon an ass into Jerusalem, and we see that here in Luke chapter 19. Hosea 11 says that when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So then we were thinking about earlier the different places that Jesus lived. One of those places was Egypt. And then when Jesus was a young child, Joseph and Mary took Jesus and fled into Egypt. And when the death of Herod became aware, Joseph and Mary took Jesus back out of Egypt. And so that's what we see. God called my son out of Egypt. And we see that being confirmed there in Matthew chapter 2. Psalm 22 is another prophecy referring to the crucifixion. And you might be aware that during the days when Psalm was written by King David, crucifixion wasn't a common practice. So where it says in Psalm 22 that they have pierced my hands and my feet is referring to the Lord Jesus when he was crucified. And again it says that in Matthew chapter 27. Confirming that Jesus is a fulfillment of these prophecies. Now that's just a couple. There are many, many more. Even just in Psalm 22, there are many more examples of this prophecy coming to about. Oh, I've got some more actually. Zechariah chapter 12 talks about how they will look upon him whom they have pierced. So when Jesus was on the cross, they did look upon him whom they pierced. In John chapter 19, the men and the women came before the cross. So you can think of the women, specifically the mother of Jesus and Martha and Mary, along with the disciple John. They looked upon him who has been pierced. They haven't pierced him themselves, but it was the Romans and the scribes and Pharisees who put Jesus in that position. And then finally, Isaiah chapter 53, talking about the description of why Jesus was crucified, that he bore our griefs and he carried our sorrows, and yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And that's picked up as well in Matthew chapter 8. So there's just a few examples of prophecies there. So let's remind us now of what it makes for someone to be famous. They were great in their own time. They were remembered for very specific reasons. They were unique in their own way. And they achieved greatly in what they were good at. And people looked to them as a role model. So now let's think about Jesus. Now, go through all those specific requirements of what makes someone famous. Jesus is all of these. But I believe, personally, that he was and is so much more famous than any other man or woman in the whole history of the world. Now that's my view. I don't know what your view is. Maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't agree with me. Let's just think of some scripture about Jesus' fame. We can see that he was famous when he was alive, for example. Matthew 4 said that Jesus' fame went throughout all Syria. Even the Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus. And then he also Mark chapter 1, Jesus' fame spread out for all the region about Galilee. So Jesus was definitely famous when he was alive on the earth. But I would most definitely argue his fame has increased much more since then. So this is the final question. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes and ask this question. A, do you agree with it? You know, you may not agree with it, that's fine. So you can discuss with the person next to you or in a group. Was Jesus or is Jesus the most famous person in the whole history of the world? And if so, why? I'm going to stop you there if that's okay. So does anyone agree that Jesus is the most famous man or woman that's ever lived in history? Any hands up? Okay, I've got a lot of hands up, so that's interesting. Excellent. Does anyone not agree, just out of interest, or abstained? Anyone want to share any reasons why they think that might be the case? Yes?
Catholic Church.
Catholic Church?
Mm. We don't necessarily agree with their teachings, but they do teach of Jesus, and it's true.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So the Catholic Church in itself were in the billions. They often taught out of fear as opposed to out of love, and it's very much you would do this or you will be punished kind of approach, which we wouldn't necessarily agree with. But yes, absolutely, they are definitely a factor to why Jesus is very famous. Anything else? Yes, at the back.
Historical person is born 2000 years ago, and man is still like our savior, and
yeah.
Still the story of the Jesus still like alive, surviving like 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't say we remember, for example, Nero, we remember like a bad person,
mm-hmm.
about that Jesus is still alive between us or shared with other nations.
Mm-hmm. So the story of Jesus is a positive story of Jesus, and even though it was 2,000 years ago, we're still talking about it now, aren't we?
And we're not talking about Hitler, we're not talking about
the others, that's right.
Dictators, it was famous, but in the bad way.
Hitler was famous in a bad way. We do know about him, but Jesus is famous for a positive way. You said he was our savior, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a really positive. He has saved us. Wonderful, thank you. Anything else?
The life of Jesus is ongoing, although he did things when he was on the earth,
yeah.
and then he was killed,
mm-hmm.
he rose, and he's still doing those things
yeah.
in heaven.
That's right, so he's in heaven today,
yeah.
And he's got immortal life, so he's everlasting, and he's still working today, fulfilling the work of his Father, who's also in heaven, and he's also guiding the angels who are working today as well. Yeah, absolutely, thank you. Anything else?
That's something about Paul, isn't it? That Christ is the same yesterday, today.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
He intercedes for us.
He intercedes for us. He's our high priest that can sympathize with our infirmities. Absolutely. Thank you. Brilliant. So, I'll pick up on this, like we were mentioning a bit earlier about Christadelphians. We're not the only ones, but Jesus is remembered on a weekly basis. It does say in the Bible, as often as you can. So it's not restricted to just a weekly basis, but we remember Jesus every week, remember him through by taking bread and by drinking of wine. Jesus was famous in his time, he was great in his time, but even now today, 2,000 years later, millions still have influenced by Jesus. He's the most unique man that's ever lived in history, being both Son of God and also Son of Man. No other man or woman has ever had that unique situation. We see that there in those two passages, that he was Son of God and Son of Man. And when Jesus was alive on the earth, many followed him, the disciples and many others followed him. They looked to him as a role model, and they wanted to hear what he had to say, and they wanted to copy the way he was living his life. And it's the same for us. We too also look up to Jesus as a role model. Several passages talk about him being an example that we should follow his steps. For example, 1 Peter and chapter 2. It says there in verse 22 in the middle that we are called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And then it says he did no sin, neither guile was found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again, when he suffered he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So there's a really positive example of Jesus, that we are following his steps. This is the final question. I know I said the last one was the final question. This is the final one, which we won't spend as much time, so I'm going to give you half a minute. Because I think I overheard a few people commenting on what the answer might be to this. This is more of a personal question about you individually. Why do we, as an individual person, look up to Jesus or remember Jesus? Or what impact has the life of Jesus had on you personally? Okay. Anyone want to share any reasons why they value Jesus in their life and remember him?
He showed the love of God to us, showed what God's character is like.
Mm-hmm. So Jesus showed... That's interesting. So Jesus is an example of God, and we can see God's love through him, and we can see how Jesus loved us. And so we can understand God's love for us as well. Excellent.
Because by him, my sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus.
And he gave us a chance of life eternal.
Yes, absolutely. We have a chance for everlasting life because of Jesus. Which is wonderful, isn't it? Anything else?
He's the only perfect example we've got.
Yes. So when we're thinking about a role model and example to follow, Jesus is a perfect example.
We shall never catch him up.
No. But that doesn't mean we don't try. Yeah, absolutely. So let's wrap that up. So we've seen that Jesus has saved us. He's been given us salvation. He's given his life to the cross. He allowed himself to be a lamb given to slaughter so that we individually might have salvation. We see that in the passage in John chapter 3 that God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the hope, everlasting life. Also, he's going to be the future king. So when Jesus is literally on the earth, we'll see him with our own eyes and he'll be our king. And so that's a wonderful thing to consider. We've thought about this resurrection into immortal life. That's the same resurrection that we hope to have. It talks about it being death being like a sleep, in that we will one day wake up. And so resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, gives us also hope of resurrection. It says there in Romans chapter 6, at the bottom, I'll just read there, that if we are planted together in the likeness of his death, we are also in the likeness of his resurrection. So just as Jesus died and rose from the dead, all those who are baptized in full immersion of water are also the same hope of being raised to everlasting life. And he lived a sinless life. And that's why he's a perfect sacrifice. And despite being tempted like we are, he's fulfilled that requirement for a sacrifice, but he can understand the temptations that we have to endure, and he can sympathize with our infirmities because of that. And he suffered greatly for our sakes for that. Brother, you mentioned this passage earlier, that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, which was, I think it's the same chapter, it might have been. But you were saying how he is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. But it goes on to here talk about how Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So that's where Jesus today, at the right hand of God. He is the finisher of our faith. And before Jesus departed, and went into heaven, Jesus gave an instruction to the disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this is what he says: he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. So it's really simple there. All we need is A, belief, and then B, be baptized. C is therefore to follow the example of Jesus' life in our daily lives. And that's all that's expected. It sounds simple, but in practice it's hard. But that is what our faith requires through Jesus. So I thank you very much for your input. If you've got any questions, by all means, come to me afterwards. I hope you have a good evening.